You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Everyone these days could use a little support, and your friends at the ESO Network are no different. With the ESO Network Patreon, the cool thing is when you help support us, it's you who will benefit. With four tiers starting for as little as 25 cents a week, you can listen to some of your favorite network podcasts early, hear exclusive content, maybe get some ESO swag, or even possibly take a shot at the geek seat. All you need to do is sign up at patreon.com/ESO Network.
I'm Drew Leiter.
And I'm Cletus Jacobs.
And welcome to episode 175 of the Earth Station DCU. Tonight we're going to talk parts 4 and 5 of Crisis, and I'm very excited about this. And apparently you're not, Cletus. I don't know.
No, sorry. I'm very excited, obviously. Yeah, this was a great conclusion to the series.
It was. All right, and we have a few guests joining us to talk about it tonight. Let's welcome back Ashley Pauls.
Hello, thanks for having me back. I'm always excited to have a chance to talk more about Arrow.
Yes, and we're always excited to have you on and get your opinion. Let's also welcome back Howdy Mike Gordon.
Howdy.
How's it going, sir?
I made it through. I made it through the crisis. As you could tell, my co-host was not so lucky. I don't know. He's stuck on some other Earth ESO or something like that. But yes, I am proud to still be here and represent Earth Station 1.
Yeah,
I know. Are you now a single person in the new universe? Aren't you in favor of just one person now?
No. That's it's not happening.
All right, and let's also welcome Nathan Laws from the 42 Cast.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Apparently, you took Faber's place. Is that kind of like what happened with Kingdom Come Superman and Lex Luthor?
Sure, we can go with that. I'm okay with that. Cryer, I think, was the best thing about this whole crossover. So.
All right, before we get into Crisis, I wanted to go over some DC news because it relates to the CW shows. So, first thing I wanted to bring up was all of the DC CW shows have been renewed for next season. That was pretty cool.
I mean, honestly, the only one that I wasn't really a surprise, but I thought was up in the air was Legends. Because you never really know with that one. I feel like that one's always sort of, you know, potentially on its last legs. Not because it's not good, but just because it's always the lowest rated the shows. But yeah, I like it's CW is pretty consistent in just sticking with things until they've run it into the ground. So
or until the actors decide to leave, as in the case of Arrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm pretty sure that wasn't their decision. That was Stephen Amell's decision.
Yeah, I think you're right.
That's probably true.
Yeah, I have a feeling he was ready to move on. All right, next up for DC News. The CW shows return this week. Actually, Batwoman's on as we speak. So, what we have this week is we have Batwoman and Supergirl on Sunday. Black Lightning's back on Monday. And on Tuesday, we got Arrow and Legends. Flash went on hiatus until February 4th for some reason. I don't know why.
Because Arrow is basically, when Arrow is done, Flash will take its place. So that way they only have 5 slots and there's 6 shows, so they have to wait for one to run out.
I guess that makes sense. Yeah, because Arrow's only.
I was thinking maybe it was related to the Super Bowl and that they were trying to make, because obviously Batwoman and Supergirl, I assume, will not air in a couple weeks. It'd be foolish for them to do that.
You're probably right about that, Cletus. But that makes sense because Arrow's only got 2 episodes left.
Yeah, so like on Tuesdays it used to be Flash and Arrow. Well, now it's going to be Arrow and Legends until Arrow runs out, and then Flash comes back into the time slot on Tuesday. So they have five slots available, so they just have to wait for Arrow to run out.
All right, and the last bit of DC news I have for this week. When I went to the movies Knives Out, and... Oh, wait a minute. That's not the DC news I have. Sorry. I'm about to talk about that next week. All right. This is what I want to talk about. So I saw the trailer for Stargirl, which is supposed to be coming spring 2020. Doesn't have a release date yet, but it's supposed to be on both the DC Universe app and the CW. I haven't heard anything, but I was wondering, is this show going to be part of the Arrowverse?
At the end, if you watch the very, very end of the fifth part of Crisis, they showed Stargirl on the new Earth 2.
Yep.
It's a new multiverse, so it's not going... So this is what's weird. It's like Berlanti went through all this effort to, like, merge all the CW shows onto one universe, but now there's going to be another CW show starting next year that's not in the same universe. So it's weird.
Well, yeah, they sort of... I mean, we'll get into it, but they had their cake and ate it too, right? They merged a lot of the universes, but then there's a lot of shows that are not. I like the fact that it's still open-ended. I like to think that, you know, all the universes that were there before are still now there again and are continuing.
Well, I think it also makes sense in a way for her to be on Earth 2, because, like, classically, Earth 2 has been for the Golden Age heroes. I mean, obviously that's changed throughout the years and stuff that they've done, but it's Stargirl, and I know that they're tying in to some of those JSA members.
Yes.
And so thematically, it does make sense for it to be. If it's going to be on a different Earth, it kind of makes sense that it's Earth 2.
Nathan brought something to my attention we talked about last week, but maybe we should mention it more this week. Superman, we talked about the possibility of Superman getting a show, but I saw an article where the actress that plays Lois was talking about the script, so they already got a script for it. So it looks like they're moving ahead with it.
It's already been brought to series. Like, they've already gotten it a series order.
Oh, have they? I hadn't heard
that. That's what I was trying to say, low-key, through the text box. Superman got a series order.
Awesome. I hadn't seen that yet, so thanks for bringing that to our attention.
No problem. Because I love me some Tyler Hoechlin. That is probably the best version of Superman since Christopher Reeve. So,
and I can tell Cletus and Mike that I was right. after being wrong last week.
did we disagree about it getting a series, though?
I don't know if you disagreed. You guys, I think you guys more said, we'll believe it when we see it. And now you see it.
Yeah, that sounds like something I would say.
that's me.
If the CW is smart, because they already have so many DC shows, they should have one of them be like a summer show. So that way they've still got DC content on the CW during the summer, you know, and spread it out a little bit so you don't have like six or seven shows all on at the same time, you know, that people have to like keep up with. So that's what I'm hoping that that's actually what happens in the Superman show, that we have Supergirl and then we can have Superman in the summer, and so we still have, you know, more DC content.
It only makes sense.
I wouldn't be shocked if Legends moves to being a summer show. I feel like they've flirted with that before, and they flirted with Supergirl being a summer show before too. So I would expect that you'll be right. I definitely would anticipate one of those shows moving to the summer. That makes sense.
All right, well, that wraps our DC news for this week. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk Crisis.
The answer, the ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything, is 42.
That's right, Broad Speculation, and on the 42cast, we bring you drama-free discussions on television shows, movies, video games, novels, and comics. So don't bother thinking about the question, just go straight to the answer. It's only on the 42cast, your ultimate answer to fandom, geekiness, and everything.
And we're back! But before we get into our Crisis talk this week, we gotta let you know, there's gonna be spoilers.
We got spoilers! Spoilers.
Spoilers,
we've got spoilers,
spoilers
for you. We got spoilers,
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 spoilers.
We've got spoilers,
spoilers
for you,
for you.
All right, let's talk Crisis. All right, last week, or was it last week, but last week when we talked, part three ended with the end of Earth One and the Wave Rider. We saw all the Paragons get moved to the Vanishing Point. And then, of course, we saw the Brandon Routh Superman disappear and Lex takes his place. This Crisis Part 4 opens up on the planet Multus. And it's 10,000 years ago. We see Mar Narvu traveling to the dawn of time. And we see his presence creates a breach in the antimatter universe. So we kind of get the creation, well, not the creation, but we see how the effect he had on the anti-universe and how that all began. Now, the one thing I want to say about the planet Multus, because if you know anything about the comics, that is where the Guardians of the Universe originated before they moved to Oa.
Yeah, when I was curious if they were going to maybe throw a few more Easter eggs or something, you know, something with it's Kronos, right? Or am I getting it? The one of the original Mad Guardians. I thought maybe there might be a little Easter egg with him or something. We didn't get anything like that.
No, but it was cool we got to see Multus. And I was wondering if Mar Narvu was supposed to have been, you know, part of the race that used to be what the Guardians were before they are what they are now. Is that in the comics at all? Does anybody know?
Well, he would have had to have been blue.
Yeah, I don't think there's any relation there. I mean, the comics have so much more going on with the aforementioned Kronos' hand popping up at the, you know, at the beginning of time and all that. And so it's just, it's a lot more convoluted. They simplify it a lot for this crossover, maybe too much, because I found that particularly with this fourth episode, that I thought they took a lot of shortcuts that I was, and some things logically didn't make sense to me. But yeah. And that was like, you know, I've kind of figured we would get a story of the monitor and the anti-monitor and how that happened and all that. But I think I was a little disappointed in the actual realization of it.
Yeah, I mean, because I still don't understand exactly what was going on there. So I get that the monitor went back in time, the beginning of time. He breached the antimatter universe. Was the anti-monitor supposed to be a time traveler from the anti-monitor universe who also went back in time at the same time? Like, exactly what was that? Because the way he talks, he makes it sound like everything that he is about death. So is the anti-monitor, is the antimatter universe all dead? And so if so, how does he exist? Did he destroy everything in the antimatter universe and now wants to do it to the positive? I mean, I didn't understand exactly what his motivation was and exactly how this kicked things off, you know? So, I felt like this was a weak point of the series. Plus, so he's basically just a MacGuffin.
Plus, you know, Pariah's whole thing is that he's being punished for freeing the anti-monitor. And two questions there. One, who is punishing him for this? And two, how did the anti-monitor get trapped somewhere? And like, that's not, those are two things that I didn't think were addressed at all in the crossover.
Pariah is pretty clear that it's the anti-monitor who is basically forcing him to watch his atrocities. He says that in either the Flash or the Batwoman parts of the crossover. But yeah, as far as how does he have the power to send them to the Vanishing Point when the anti-monitor can't go there himself? That's the part where I was like, if the anti-monitor gave you these powers, how is it that he can't go somewhere that you can send people? So that was another thing that I thought was a weakness in the storytelling.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, why give him powers?
Right.
Sure, force him to watch, but like, you know, powerless.
By the way, I did pick up the Crisis on Infinite Earths Giant, and I was trying. I read that, and that introduces the character of, I think it's what is he called? Outcast, which is the anti-monitor version of Pariah. And that story made absolutely no sense. It was just awful. So, I can't say, like, it had potential. Like, I like the idea of the monitor getting together some of the other characters that weren't participating in Crisis, like Ray and Felicity and Wally. But then they mixed that together with some of the characters that were involved with the CW Crisis, so I didn't know. It just was a mess. So I can't say I recommend getting picking up.
I'm laughing because when we talked last time, you said you weren't going to pick that up.
Yeah, I you're right. I was like, I'm not going to pick it up. But then I saw it there, and I'm like, I'm just such a Crisis junkie. I was like, I want something, and I was like, okay. And so I did. I got it, and I read it, and I was like, damn, I shouldn't have gotten it.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Here's the thing about this whole crossover to me. Like, I'm disappointed in the plot. It is all about the fan service, and there's so much great fan service in these five episodes. But, like, yeah, the plot, I don't think, Mike, when you really try to look at it, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And don't get me started on the fact that we've built up to the Flash vanishing for 6.5 years or 5.5 years, in fact, and made a really big point of it in the first half of the Flash season this year, only to have the most predictable cop-out. in the part three, and I'm still disappointed in that, because that was glossed over so quickly, and it's not appreciated.
No, but you do have to say it was a great ending for the other Barry Allen from the 90s show.
Well, and that's great, but you know, I have like dim memories of that show, having watched it, you know, maybe a handful of times when I was 10 years old. My biggest memory of that show is the fact that I didn't get to see the one with Mark Hamill because my parents, we did something that day. I can't remember what we did. I just remembered that I missed that episode because I wanted to see it because I was a huge Star Wars fan, and I wanted to see the one with Mark Hamill, and I didn't get to see it. So that's my biggest memory. That doesn't really resonate so strongly with me.
You missed the best episode.
I'm sure I did, because I saw how he played the trickster on the Flash, and I'm like, oh man, that would have been great if I had seen that.
You should rewatch those. Those are the only ones worth watching, I think, but they're really good. I would seek those out and watch those. But yeah, I mean, I didn't have it, like I said, when we reviewed parts 1 through 3, I liked all of those. But I think just actually, and we'll get to, you know, 5 and everything like that, but 4 just stumbled for me a little bit. Like I said, there was some cool character moments, really good character moments that we'll get to. But as far as, I was really hoping that we would, you know, put together the plot in a way that it would make sense and all that. And it just, as Nathan pointed out, it came up short. But yeah, there's still a lot of cool stuff, so.
Yeah, I mean, Mike, we should probably know better, because this is the same series that has like 2 dozen different Flashes and reverse Flashes running around Barry's living room when he was a kid, where the timeline doesn't make sense at all with any of that anymore. So,
going off of the what I would agree with the weakness of the plot, I also, I mean, the, like we talked about, the fan service in this whole series, and really in the last two, in my opinion, are just, it's unbelievable. But the like, even the big conflicts really were a dud. Like both in this episode and in the final episode where they take on the Anti-Monitor, it's weak.
Yeah. Well, the problem is these Wraith things that the Anti-Monitor, they have no personality, and I'm still not sure what they're able to do. Like, I don't know what the stakes are, because I don't know what the abilities of these Wraith things that he keeps summoning up are. You know, look, like
if Ryan Choi can punch one and it disappears, I'm like, well, why even bother having these things?
It didn't really matter, because it wasn't. I mean, I think we've seen from like some of the like the first season of Legends that they don't really do the big superhero fights all that well most of the time, and so I wasn't totally surprised by that. So I can't say I was let down, but it was really. Both times they take the bad guy on, I was sort of like, wow, I was almost relieved that they were fast, underwhelming fights, because they didn't have to sit through too much of it.
Well, I kept hoping that the 90s Barry Allen disappearing was like a misdirection, and that we were still going to have something happen where Barry has to sacrifice himself, and really hoping, actually, because, you know, if you read the article in that paper from the future, that the Reverse Flash was going to show up, especially since at the end of last season, Reverse Flash says, see you next crisis. So, you know, I kept expecting the Reverse Flash to show up and be involved in some way, and he wasn't at all. And that, to me, was another disappointment with this. And, you know, Guggenheim's been out there saying, well, we shouldn't really be beholden to something from, you know, 5.5 years ago, whatever. But I'm like, well, first of all, it was name-checked last year. And second of all, when you've been building up to it for 5.5 years, you kind of have to be beholden to it. Right, I'm sorry. I'm going to try to calm down here. Let's talk about Lex.
Well, I have to say that was one of my biggest disappointments of this, because I was expecting Reverse Flash to show up sometime. And I think we even talked about it last episode. And I was disappointed he didn't.
No, because, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's the thing that's supposed to happen at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths, is Barry Allen sacrifices himself to save everybody. And, you know, and like I say, I mean, yeah, it's an adaptation. It doesn't have to be the same as the comics, but they've been building to it in the show for so long that it felt like a real cop-out.
All right, let's move on here. The next part of the story we have is the Vanishing Point. We find out that the Paragons have been trapped at the Vanishing Point for months. We kind of have Ryan Choi kind of narrating this part of the story. He's talking about Kate's been training and John's meditating all the time. And we get to see Ryan and Lex are kind of fighting as they're trying to use the tech that's there to create a teleporter. And of course, Flash is missing. And pretty much as soon as they talk about that, he comes zooming out of the Speed Force and talks about he was only gone for 2 seconds, he thought, but he'd been gone for months. And a lot of this episode was just the Paragons trying to figure out how to get out of the Vanishing Point to do something. And to me, it felt like they spent too much time trying to figure out how to get out of the Vanishing Point.
Well, and then too much time with the Speed Force, and I get that they wanted to show some like blasts from the past, but then when when Oliver's thing is, you need to find the connections between people, Barry, but then it's like, Kate has no connections to anybody, so I mean, how they found Kate, I have no idea, because it's like, she had no connections there, but you know, it's just a scene that she was in, that's for her to watch. Adam,
I thought that too, because he was like, yeah, because he tells Barry, it's like, think of the memories and all that kind of stuff, and the memories are key, and I'm like, and then we're getting into it, I'm like, oh, these are Ollie's memories, like they're all these memories, right? And then Flash is zipping through all Oliver's memories, and I'm like, okay, well, this is a episode of Arrow, so of course, Arrow is going to be the one that's front and center, so we're going to go through some bits. Yeah, sure, the scenes that they picked didn't make any sense, and I don't know, were relatively just filler, it felt like, kind of, but I think they could have handled that well, because I didn't, you know, apart from, you know, the big probably highlight for everybody in this episode, apart from that one scene, I mean, that first half hour of this kind of drags.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it is kind of interesting, because I feel like they spent a lot of this last season of Arrow and did it very effectively, kind of like taking him back through his past, like saying goodbye to these different people and revisiting these moments. So I thought they did that really well in the show. So it is kind of interesting that they revisited that just in a briefer form. It almost felt a little bit redundant, maybe.
All right, let's talk about Flash's face-to-face with the Ezra Miller Flash. I was not expecting that at all. Heard nothing about it.
I was so angry. I was scrolling through social media, and I had that spoiled for me before I had a chance to watch it. So I was really bummed. But it was still cool, but I was like, oh, I would have loved to be surprised by that.
Well, right. DC anything spoiled else it for from Crisis? Everybody, like right before, it aired, DC like kind of posted that, and I was like, "You bastards! Like,
why would you
at
do
least
that?"
Yeah. Everything else about Crisis, it seems like people did a good job of being like spoiler, you know, like redacting like the spoiler parts of the article title or whatever, so that you knew that if you clicked on this, it would have spoilers or whatever. But the Ezra Miller stuff was just like front and center in pictures. Like, there's no way to miss it while you're scrolling past. It's just like, it was spoiled for me, and I watched it the night it aired. I just watched it a few hours later, and it was the night it aired, and I already saw it on Facebook before I watched the episode.
Yeah, they aired it like Ezra Miller and I think CW and everybody, like they showed that shot, at least a couple photos, right before 8 or whatever, and it was like, I don't know why you're doing that, but that was wrong.
With Ezra Miller, though, I think it's because he is so, like, he wants to make sure that everyone knows, I'm still the Flash, okay? Like, you haven't been asking, there's a movie coming, I know it's been, like, kicked down, you know, like, several, you know, years, but it's still coming, you know, guys.
He didn't have anything to do with the stuff coming out. That was all Warner Brothers. But I will say, like, I was, not only was I was surprised on two fronts, because I was surprised, I'm like, oh my god, this is happening, this is really awesome, and then I'm like, oh my god, Ezra Miller is, like, much bigger than Grant Gustin. I'm like, I couldn't believe like how much bigger he is. It just really threw me. Like, I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I thought that they would probably acknowledge the movies in some way, but I thought it would be some very subtle thing of like seeing some, you know, like reference, some visual reference or something that Earth was one of the Earths in the multiverse. I was not expecting them to get one of the stars of one of the movies to actually show up in Crisis.
It's pretty awesome, pretty awesome if you think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. That was so cool. I watched it. I actually watched the show the day after because I was coaching a game the night it aired. And I don't know. By some miracle, I avoided that spoiler because my girlfriend and I were both shocked when he popped up. We're like, wait, is this happening? Is he really on here right now?
Now, I was surprised too because I didn't see any spoilers for it. I saw it the next morning very early. So I happened to miss spoilers too. Of course, I might have been out Uber driving the night before. I can't remember.
Mm-hmm. The one question this did raise for me is one that Drew and I have asked many times is what exactly are WB's rules for characters you can use and can't use? Because, like, it's okay to use Ezra Miller's Flash, but we still can't reference Wonder Woman. Like, why is it so convoluted? Why can't we just use all of these characters?
I have to think that it's all caught up in legal hoo-ha. Like mm-hmm. I would imagine that, you know, like, yeah, Wonder Woman's not mentioned throughout this crisis. I thought even at the end, when they showed all the Earths, we'd get a flash of, like, the upcoming movie or something, but nope, right. Nothing.
And that's exactly what I thought.
And so, yeah, Wonder Woman's not mentioned. Then again, Wonder Woman, I mean, they'd have to pay the Marsden estate if they want to mention Wonder Woman. So I imagine they were like, well, we don't have to, so we're not going to pay her. And then I think certain shows, like if you have, like, I think just because it's on the CW or just because it's in the Berlanti verse, I don't think that covers you. You can use it through all the shows. Like, for example, I think Batwoman only has the license to use like Batman characters, right? So you can mention Joker in a Batwoman episode, but in another another series, which is what they did like in this episode 3 or whatever, they said like they didn't call him by name. He just said like some Gotham reject came and you know had a problem with the baby. Like he went out of his way not to mention Joker's name, and I got a feeling that still there's that thin line between all of them that they have to kind of cross. They just don't have the rights to everybody.
Well, and also with some of these particular series, whoever produced the series might still have a stake too. So, like, for instance, one of the shows that wasn't referenced was Lois and Clark, which I don't know if that has to do with who, like, whatever studio made that show or whatever, because they obviously had the rights to Superman, you know, to talk about Superman, because we had a couple of them, but there was no reference at all to the Lois and Clark series, not even like a really like tangential one. So I'm thinking that probably has to do with like having to pay like another studio for rights to use characters that they helped, you know, co-create or something along those lines.
Plus you've got, you know, your cast that you have to like, you know, put in for. I mean, that's why I think, you know, that's why, you know, when we get to episode 5, I'm really confused as to how they determined who would be among the superheroes in that battle at the end, because I was like, what are you picking from? Because I'm like, I could, like, there should be other choices here, and you have, like, this is an episode of Legends, right? Like, so I was really kind of confused by that, but so yeah, there's probably a lot of things that we just, you know, that they have to run by legal, and if legal says no, then they can't do it. I mean, I think Mark said that You know, they tried 100 things, and they were only able to actually do 50 of them. But how cool is it that they did the 50 of them, right? So I guess we should be thankful for that.
Well, the other side of this is that they've changed their rules also, because, you know, Slade had to go away because at one point they were like, anyone that's going to be in the movies can't be in the TV stuff, and that's why Deadshot also had to go away, you know. But then they brought Slade back. So obviously they're relaxing the rules on, you
know.
Well,
they've even been inconsistent with that. They said everybody has to go away except Flash. He's okay. Like, he will still have, we'll still have Flashes.
You can't get rid of your number one superhero show.
But yeah, it is weird. And who knows? You know, it's just people just try and jockey for a position, I guess. So I would imagine that books can be written about, you know, at the end of result of this, as to who, why they'd had to use who they had to use. But I'm just glad that we were able to get a lot of these scenes, and that scene between the two Flashes is amazing and awesome. And it just sort of with all the heat that was given to Ezra when the Justice League movie came out because he wasn't Grant, I just kind of like to see both of them interact in a way that just was kind of cool for both of them.
I think in a lot of ways, this scene sort of justified the entire crossover for me. Like, I enjoyed a lot of these other cameos that we got were nice, but some of them, like the Batman 66 one was cool, but like, I could live without the 5 seconds of "Holy Crimson Skies, Batman." You know what I mean? That moment, that Flash and Flash meeting each other moment, is something like that's one of the best things I've seen in the entire CW series.
I don't know. We haven't talked about the one at the end of part 5 yet.
That's true.
The most important one.
Yeah. That's a good point. I did also very much enjoy that one, although maybe not for the same reasons that they intended.
So, one thing I was confused about in this episode is we had part of the team in the Speed Force, and then the other team was on Maltus. And I don't know how the other team would got on Maltus when it should have been destroyed. That part confused me.
Yeah, they did not explain that one well at all.
No. Well, and that was the thing, because I was like, wait, so are these universes destroyed throughout all time, or are they just destroyed in the present? In which case, then it makes sense that Maltus is still there. But then from dialogue later in the story, it makes it sound like, no, like, the universes, like, they were cut off at the moment of their creation. Like, they never existed in the first place, which is why you have to rebirth them. So, yeah, it's the same thing. It was not explained very well at all.
And they didn't. It ultimately didn't even mean anything, because you get that brief Lex plot where he's trying to, I would have almost liked to have let him succeed, because then that would have been, I feel like, probably more interesting way to maybe end the series, is they're trying to figure out this new Lex world. But instead it's just like a side diversion that means nothing.
Didn't we get that anyway, though, just from a different means?
Yeah, that's a good point, but you know what I mean? Like, ultimately, that side plot meant nothing, because
right,
Barry
the plot
just
on
goes
Maltus
and
was filler. Yeah.
And then we got that terrible "The Brave and the Bold" reference, because it didn't didn't even fit those characters.
It was a good line, though. I'm not gonna lie, I chuckled.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to later in the episode, where we have Flash finally gathers up all the Paragons from the Speed Force and takes them all to the Anti-Matter universe to face the Anti-Monitor.
I'm sorry, they have the scene where all the Paragons just sort of like line up, and I thought for a second they were going to do a Care Bear stare.
I did too. I'm not going to lie.
Where their little Paragon symbols would appear on their chests and they just shoot out.
To be honest with you, I would have honestly preferred that over them just looking intensely at the creation of the new universe. I couldn't believe that. Like, even my girlfriend was like, "What are they doing? They're just staring real hard."
Like,
that was incredibly lame.
I thought they would have to hold hands or something. I was expecting that. They just stood there staring.
hey, remember, they've already, like, killed the budget for, like, all five shows or all six shows with just this one crossover. So they have to save money somewhere. Yeah.
Have like, used some imagination in this
part. A simple color beam.
So you want to be like, the final battle isn't a quarry. It's like an episode of classic Doctor Who or something. It's like, this is a location that costs nothing. We found a quarry somewhere.
I did think, on the plus side, I did think that the race, that the CG on the race was much better in this episode than it was, and in the sixth episode, or fifth episode, than it was in the previous three, so it looks like they had a few more weeks to work on that, so that was good. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, I dig Oliver as the Spectre, and the battle that they, I mean, however short it was, and, you know, obviously it didn't really make sense, but still, the battle itself, putting that together and bringing that to life from the Crisis miniseries was something that I was really excited about.
Did anybody find it hard to understand Oliver when he was talking?
Yeah.
That was one problem I had with it. It was really hard to understand.
It was okay. There were a few times. Yeah, there were a few times him and the Anti-Monitor in the next episode, there were a couple lines where I don't know what they said.
I don't remember having a problem with that, but I don't know how my TV was turned up, so maybe I just had it really loud.
We did get the Oliver, you failed this universe.
Yeah. Well, if he's going to go out, he's going to go out with a line like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And he dies for the second time.
This one was more satisfying, though. It felt like the goodbye he should have had the first time.
Yeah, I
did like it. I just, because of the other crossover and the stakes, I kind of thought that it should have been Supergirl and Flash with him at the end instead. I know why. I know why Sarah's with him. I mean, obviously, Sarah, it's, you know, I mean, she's an important part. She becomes like, man, I have all the people in the second, in the two parts here, four and five. She's like, she gains a lot of, she becomes the leader, de facto, really, of the group, which is amazing. But it just felt like I was sitting there, Supergirl just spends this episode babysitting Lex. And I just thought, like, she should do more. And it just, for me, like, from a, I don't know, meta point of view or something like that, would have been better if it was Supergirl and Flash with Ollie at the end.
Well, yeah, I think that's a good point, especially since, you know, these are the two characters that he made the sacrifice for and has been keeping this a secret. So it was a really emotional moment. It would have been nice for him to give that final goodbye, saying, like, I did this for you. I'm not sorry. Now you have to kind of carry on what I can't do anymore. Yeah.
Don't fail this universe or make all come back.
Don't make me come back.
Could we get Ryan Choi in a costume?
I'm wondering, because we know that Brandon Routh is out of Legends this season. So I'm wondering if they're sort of low key setting him up to be the new Adam when Brandon Routh leaves.
I'm sure they are, but I was hoping he'd get a costume during this crisis, and it just didn't happen.
Well, I mean, if we try to, like, parse out who these paragons are, like, it doesn't make sense anyway. The reason they didn't put him in a costume is he's the paragon of humanity. And so, you know, he's got to be, like, the normal Joe out of all of them. But, you know, all these descriptions as far as what they're the paragon of, very few of them work very well. And so, you know, I mean, it's just a way for them to, like, have some sort of, like, you know, really ominous or portentous sort of title, you know, with the Paragon. So, you know, we'll see how this all plays out.
They really, to Nathan's point, they really should have spent more time in this episode bringing out a story and a situation where each one of them used their Paragon-ness or whatever to show, like, to unlock this adventure, this key to it. And they didn't do that at all. Especially since the Paragon thing is not even from anything that I know of. So, like, they just put it in there to put it in there, I guess, and it just seems so random.
Well, it seems like a kid's adventure cartoon thing of the, you know, there's the magic symbol that proves that you're like got a certain power or whatever, and it's just like, okay, but that's why I bring up Care Bears, you know, because they have the symbols, you know, that all represent them and what they are, and it's just like, but why? You know, how does this actually work? And it's never actually explained at all.
All right. Let's take a short break and we'll come back and talk Crisis Part 5.
Howdy! Howdy! Dragon Con 2019 is fast approaching, so fill up your buckets of rum and keep up with the latest news, announcements, interviews, and mispronunciations of guest names as only the Con Report podcast crew can make. Let us be your guide each month as we count down to the big event on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite media play. Listen to the DragonCon Con Report. It's almost as good as being there, but without the long lines, smelly gamers, and hangover.
And we're back. Let's talk Crisis Part 5. So Part 5, and I loved how this one starts off. Part 5 opens up in Kara's apartment. She wakes up. She's not sure what's going on. Nia calls her. Hey, you're late to the Nobel Peace Prize ceremony, and you know, she gets up, doesn't know what's going on, and Alex is there, and she gets down to where they're giving away the Nobel Peace Prize, and Lex Luthor gets it. And I was like, what the heck is going on?
Isn't it great that someone who actually deserves it got it? That's the line Nia gives. But yeah, no, this is my favorite part, because I was thinking that as it's like, oh yeah, the Paragons have to like recreate the universe by thinking about it really hard, and so it's like, you guys realize that Lex is part of this mix, right?
Right.
You know, like, it's not going to end up being like what you want it to be, and mm-hmm. that to me is the best, that's the best setup that they could ever have, because you know, Supergirl, the way it's always been, is it's been like Kara is coming in after Superman's had 10 years worth of adventures. So we have a Lex that's already like a criminal and everyone knows it. And so this reset of having Lex as a criminal, you know, like nobody knows like who Lex really is or whatever, I think is one of the best things that they, you know, have set up for this new universe, because that means he's going to be able to do a lot more stuff. And yeah, the Paragons know what he's really like, but nobody else does. And
not
I'm
the Paragons,
that he's...
everybody that John touched knows. Like, he went around touching
everybody. All right, let's not start with that, because how does John know, like, what Renee's life in the other universe was like, or, you know, like, these people John never even met?
But he did.
But I mean, let's not start.
You say don't start it, but they did it. So,
right.
I mean...
Right, but, like, the average Joe on the street doesn't know that Lex is...
I don't know if he did it to Lex. Like, why would he do it to Lex?
No. Lex was one of the Paragons all woke up with their memories of the previous life. It's only the
right. And then John just took it upon himself to give it to other people.
Now, right, exactly.
Like, without asking anybody. Sharon. Like, I'm just going to give it to other people. And I'm like,
now,
dude,
one of my favorite things in that scene is when Lex winks at Kara.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, because he knows.
He knows. And, mm-hmm. I love that.
So I had I told you guys I watched this a day late, and when my girlfriend and I went to start streaming it off of the CW site, somehow we accidentally clicked on episode 5 first. Oh. And so we saw this scene and I was like, wow, this is a huge jump. Are they gonna like back and explain, like, I kind of explained it in my head initially. I was like, oh, so they're doing like this, like you can see that they've gotten to the new universe, and then they're going to go back and explain it. And I was like, no, that doesn't seem right. Can we pause it real quick? What episode are we on?
Oops.
Luckily, it's not really, I wouldn't really say spoiling anything. Like, obviously, the good guys were going to win, it was so funny because I was watching. I was trying to explain to myself why they would have made such a massive jump narratively, and then realized that I was the one that was an idiot. So
yeah. To me, to me, this episode wasn't about the fight with the monitor. That was just kind of like whatever. This episode was about setting up the new universe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
We got a couple things.
We're all watching this going, are they on the same Earth? Are they on the same Earth? Wait, yeah. wait. And so when you finally see like Kara go and fight, and she runs across like
Weather Witch.
Yeah, you're like, okay, they're on the same Earth now. Like that's a connection. You're like, this is okay, cool.
I think the biggest tension for me in this episode was nervous that they were going to undo it at the end of the episode. Like I felt a little bit concerned that they were gonna like give fans what they wanted temporarily, but like, oh, they're on the same Earth, and now we're gonna change it back.
I didn't get that feeling at all.
The tension of the episode for me had nothing to do with the plot. It was like, please don't change this. Please don't change this.
How cool was that to have Marv Wolfman come up and ask for Flash and Supergirl's autograph?
That was awesome.
Yeah, the characters that he killed.
Shouldn't you be dead?
Now, yeah, that would have been funny. It's like, oh, I thought you guys were dead.
Now, I read an article that Marv Wolf was interviewed in, and he said that when he originally wrote Crisis, his plan was for Supergirl to die, but not Flash. He was not planning on killing Flash, and that was something that DC mandated to him.
I also understand that George was supposed to be part of that scene too, but he was away when they were filming it at appearances in Europe or something, so they couldn't make that happen, which is a shame. But still, getting Marv in there as a cameo was awesome.
One of the other things I wanted to bring up is when Kara goes to the DEO, she finds out that her boss is Lex Luthor. Mm-hmm. And that the DEO is a subsidiary of LexCorp. And that's going to be really interesting when, of course, our show's going on right now, but it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because it's going to change the whole dynamic of the show. We've had Lena as the villain this season, and this is going to flip it on its head. I'm wondering what direction the show's going to go now.
Well, you know, Lex is basically getting to have his cake and eat it too. And yeah, I think that it's going to switch up to Lex being the main villain for the series. But what's interesting is that they said that like Lex was Supergirl's biggest fan aside from Lena. So yeah, I think Lex really played with reality when he redid things. So it'll be interesting to see like that dynamic between him and Lena, you know, going forward. But I just love the fact that like now, like as far as the public is concerned, like he's fine. And so I'm hoping that Lex goes beyond just Supergirl also, and that we'll see his machinations in other CW shows, because it would be nice to have a villain that sort of spans the gamut rather than just being like a villain for one show.
Right.
Yeah, that'd more John Cryer is always a good thing.
Yes. Another interesting change with that status quo is it felt to me personally, at least, like they had flubbed the Lena twist a little bit. Like I know Drew and I had very much anticipated her kind of fall the entire time that she's been on the show. They keep teasing it and teasing it. And then when they finally did it, it felt like they only sort of like dipped their toes in the water and they're like, oh, nope, don't want to do that. So it's interesting that it feels, at least right now, obviously, like Drew said, we don't know what this episode that's airing right now is going to be like, but it feels like they maybe hit the reset button on that.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, because that was one thing that I was so happy that they finally went there, because even though it was a slow burn, I felt like it was so satisfying once they went there with Lena, you know, especially because the way that she learned was Lex, as he's dying, as she murdered him because he was just too awful to allow to live, tells her that everyone knew all along except for her that Kara was Supergirl. And I could totally see that breaking her. And so I wanted to see that develop further. But maybe they felt like what they've already done with it is all they could do with it without making her really like an over-the-top villain. So that's why they produced that.
I agree with you on the how she finally breaks was great. I thought they built it up perfectly. And then her plot was kind of dumb. It was so weird. It was like she finally breaks. She finally tries to go after Supergirl, but then doesn't really go after Supergirl. And it was sort of, I don't know, I was so disappointed because you finally got, like you said, there was this big slow burn, the really satisfying payoff where she finally realizes that she's been lied to by Supergirl. And then her plot is to, I mean, in a way, make everybody nice.
Well, but again, I don't want to drive this too far into Supergirl territory, but I felt that that was super fitting when you consider the fact that she is an orphan girl that didn't even realize that she was really genetically part of the Luther family for a long time, and that she's just wanted everyone to, like, treat her nicely all this time. And so it's like she's now, like, that is her big supervillain plan, is I'm going to make everybody be nice to each other. You know, like, and I'm just going to force them to do that. And so I thought it kind of worked with her, you know, background and where she came from. So, because she was, and that's the thing, she kept insisting, I'm not a bad person because I'm not going to kill anyone by doing it. Because that's what she tells herself, but taking away everybody's free will was okay to her. So,
you know. Yeah, I didn't mind that development either. And I understand that the actress wanted to leave after this season anyway. So I think that went into a lot of switching around, you know, the popular, because John Cryer was only supposed to do like a couple of episodes too, and then they realized how popular he was and they asked him to come back and he's like, hell yes. So so I think that this crisis gave them an opportunity to sort of switch the Luthers around, at least as far as Supergirl goes, and we'll see where it goes from there. But I'm really curious, like, I'm glad, like, I didn't know how this was going to shake out, but the one thing I wanted desperately was to have every single series be affected in some way by Crisis. And I am so glad, at least right now, I mean, right off the bat, we're talking about Supergirl. Supergirl is affected in a major way by the events of Crisis. And because it, like, you know, the next episode that we're going to watch is going to be a lot different. I mean, if you didn't watch Crisis and you're watching Supergirl, you're going to be like, what happened? Like, so why are things like this? So that's pretty awesome. I don't know if I can say the same for some of the other shows that we're going to talk about, but I was glad to see at least for Supergirl, there's a lot of repercussions.
Yeah, I suspect that all of them except Batwoman are going to have major repercussions. Batwoman is so new that they're probably not going to want to change up too much, you know, with Crisis.
Which it'll probably be fairly... That's the one that needs the most work.
Well, I think so too, but I suspect that Gotham will be pretty much the same even in the new universe. But yeah, I think the other shows are going to have, because they've been saying, like, Flash is the show that's going to deal the most with post-crisis stuff. So I'm pretty sure Flash is going to be affected. Black Lightning and Supergirl are going to both be really different because now they're completely different universes.
I'm not sure about Black Lightning now. I mean, the ad for the new Black Lightning said, oh, you were in an alternate universe? Tell me more. Like they're acting like this was just a fluke thing for them.
All right.
So,
well,
I'm really curious as to how they're going to resolve that over there.
The episode description says that Jefferson must now navigate the new universe he finds himself in. So I'm going to just take that on faith that it's going to be very different in Freeland.
I am too. I am too. Because when they talked about, you know, being in an alternate universe, I'm like, oh, are we going to, what are we doing? So we'll see. We'll see. But yeah, I hope so. I hope, like I said, I hope all of them have repercussions. And I know that Legends is going to be dealing with a lot of the fallout too, from what I understand. So
I am most excited to see the new status quo for Black Lightning, whether it's a big change or not. The fact that it's in this new world, I feel like, gives them an opportunity to maybe play around with some stuff more, because they had initially gone with being in a different world, which I think was the right move. You know, they sort of had to continue building the world around that idea that there weren't many people like Black Lightning. But now that they've sort of taken the shackles off there, what does that look like on that show? I think that could be really interesting.
And this is my worry, because right now, if you think about it, unless the Flash's life is so completely different, like, nothing about the timeline of the Flash makes sense anymore, because the whole idea that Barry spent his whole life trying to prove that people with extra normal abilities are real, well, that doesn't make sense if Superman's been around for 10 years before, you know, Barry was even had powers, right? You know, so they really, I hope, need to go back, and I hope they go back and explain, like, how this timeline even works. because that was one of my problems with even considering them merging the universes together, is like, how does even the sequence of events in The Flash make sense anymore? Because now if there's only one Harrison Wells, what about, you know, the fact that the Reverse Flash took the Harrison Wells, but then there was Harry and all that sequence too? Like, if Nash is the only Wells, you know, so it's problematic.
It's problematic, but then if you think about it too, there's an out that they have. I mean, Ollie and his crew and the Paragons created this universe. Is there going to be inconsistencies? Heck yeah, because did they know everything? Not really. So, you know, they're making it up, you know, they're making it up. And obviously, if Lex can affect things as well going into it, then, you know, I think that there's a lot of room. I don't think they're going to set out to explain much at all in the beginning, if at all. Just they'll just work with it as they go, just as what they have been doing.
I'm honestly hoping, though, that Barry, like, wished his parents back into existence so then they can still have John Wesley Shipp back on the show. So that's what I'm hoping.
That would be awesome to have him in some shape or form on the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's dead. Get over it.
I think one of the biggest questions we have, especially we were talking about how Batwoman would be affected, is Luke Fox going to be jacked or not?
Asking the important question.
I definitely hope so.
Drew, if that's the your main concern from all this, I must say, I had you pegged different.
No, I'm really curious to see how some of these shows are going to go. I'm interested in what's going to happen on Black Lightning. I'm interested in Flash. I heard Flash, second half of Flash is going to have a different villain, because the first half of Bloodwork is probably one of the worst villains they could have chose for.
Right. Hey, he wasn't a speedster.
I still can't get over the fact that they looked at what was such a forgettable, mediocre comic book story and were like, that's our guy. That's our villain.
Well, because
it blew my mind when they announced that he was going to be the bad guy. I was like, seriously? There have been other Flash comics that came out, guys.
Yeah, but if you needed to burn one with half a season leading up to Crisis, why not use him, right?
Right, that's why I'm thinking. They knew it was going to be a character they were only going to use for a few episodes, so that's why they went with him.
Yeah, he was never the main focus of that season anyway.
I'm really hoping we'll see Reverse Flash in the second half of Flash. I'm really hoping.
All right, does anybody really think that Oliver's dead?
No.
We know
he's going to be in the last episode, so come on.
Because we know that there's at least like one more episode with him. So
Well, it's two things. I mean, it's the meta reason of, knowing that he's going to be in the final episode of Arrow, but it's also that he's the Spectre, right? And while I'm not huge into DC lore, isn't the Spectre like a cosmic being? You know, I mean, it's like, I don't think, like, it doesn't, like, the Spectre doesn't die, right? Like, it just comes back, right?
Well, but on top of that, we know that he's alive in some fashion, because we saw the moments leading up to what I'm assuming is going to be one of the final scenes of the show last season.
Right, with him and Felicity
that doesn't exist anymore. Like, they've been very clear on that Crisis is going to change the future, because Marnovu is dead, you know, and the future that Felicity came from is going to be different. So
I don't know,
Marnovu said that how Oliver died in Crisis wasn't the way it was supposed to happen, so I'm not sure that is going to be the way that Felicity comes into that final episode of Arrow.
I don't think we can suggest that Marnovu is dead. You know, they recreated the universe. They could bring it back.
Anything is possible.
They could have. Yeah, they could do anything. What I do think, though, is that I do feel that Oliver and Felicity will get their, you know, right off in the sunset together. But exactly how that looks, what that looks like, I don't know. Because I don't know what they want to do with the spinoff. Does it still take place in the future? We didn't see Mia at all in the episodes in 4 and 5 parts of this. So I don't know how that they're going to resolve that. And until we get those answers, I don't think we will. But I do think we're going to see Steven again, obviously. And I do think they're going to, now I don't think he's going to interact or leave it open to interact with the CW-verse at all again. But who knows? Maybe they won't shut that door completely.
No, because I think they'll leave him as the Spectre so that he can show up whenever they want him to.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think they're going to leave the door open for him to guest star in whatever show. Like, you know, like, hey, can you do an episode of The Flash, you know, next year? Sure, I'll do an episode. You know, I'm pretty sure that's the way it's going to be.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, me too.
He's not. They'll definitely leave the door open for him.
Because, yeah, I mean, he said before in interviews that he doesn't want to do the role more than 7 years. They get him to come back for a half year beyond 7. But I'm pretty sure this was driven by him. But he's also said in interviews that, yeah, now that I'm leaving, if they ever want me back, sure, I'm not going to say no to that. So I think that he's, like, maybe even next crossover, like, he'll be back just for the crossover, you know? Who knows?
Well, we'll see, man. Oof. I can't even imagine what they're going to have in store for next crossover. How do you top this?
Yeah.
hey, one word. Dark Side.
That would be awesome, but with the movie thing, as long as it's not Final Night,
Well, it looks like, based on the teaser that we got in
or
this,
Zero Hour,
based on the teaser that we got in this, I think they're going to go a different direction. It looks like they might go like in because we got the kind of Wonder Twins teaser there. It feels like they might go into, you know, like in a, maybe the crossover isn't like all the worlds are ending. It's more just like something goofy.
We're gonna get a Legion of Doom.
Yeah, like, I don't know. It could be interesting if they go a more lighthearted crossover. I wouldn't be opposed to it.
But is that a teaser for a crossover, do you think? Because I thought that was just saying that the Wonder Twins are going to show up soon in one of the shows. I don't think that meant that was like, yo, this is the next crossover plot is going to involve Gleek.
Oh, you gave that a lot of credit. I thought it was just a funny thing that they put in there that they're never going to follow up with again.
I don't think. If they zoomed in on it like that, it's just like how in the first episode of The Flash, they zoomed in on the cage that said Grodd. You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to do something with that, or they wouldn't have zoomed in on it like that. So.
I would agree with that.
But yeah, I mean, obviously, the biggest game changer will be the Wonder Twins showing up, so, you know. Probably on Legends. If they belong anywhere, it'll be on Legend.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, we kind of glossed over by skipping to Gleek the whole Hall of Justice thing that they teased it in the Invasion crossover, but we haven't seen it since. And now they actually have the table, you know, the round table with all their chairs around it. So, you know, that was pretty cool, I thought.
For me, that was the best part of the episode. Getting to that ending.
Agreed.
Because we basically have the Justice League on television.
Yeah, and Michael mentioned it a little bit before, but I really love the fact that Sarah now has Oliver's role as the leader. I felt like that was really fitting, especially with all the development she's had in Legends. Yes. And the fact that she is the one of them that's been around the longest now that
Oliver's
on. And so, like everybody deferring to her as the one who's the, you know, the leader of the show. So, you know, when Legends was renewed, I was a little disappointed because I was almost hoping that Legends was going to be canceled and they were going to replace it with a Justice League show. You know, they could have ported most of the characters over, but, you know, just make it a, like, Justice League with Sarah as the leader of the Justice League. But we're not there yet.
On paper, I would like that show, but my concern is it would look like season one of Legends. You know what I mean? See, that's what Legends was sort of trying to do that. It was, I mean, like, it was like the C-list Justice League, and it didn't work. And it wasn't just because of the characters they were using. Like, they just... trying to focus on some big superhero fight at the end of the episode got stale. And then, I mean, I'm not saying that you couldn't do it right, but their attempt at basically doing that did not work, and they had to completely reinvent the show.
Well, I mean, the budget issues, like where, like, suddenly Captain Cold and Heatwave's guns just shoot red and blue lasers instead of actually freezing or burning things was, you know, kind of problematic, too. Because that's what I hated. It's like Captain Cold shoots his ice beam at somebody and just knocks them backward. I'm like, wait, shouldn't they freeze? You know, isn't that what the thing does? You know, so... Yeah, I didn't like the budget issues that had. But yeah, no, I love that. The only thing I would have done differently probably is I know that they had the chair like for Oliver that they left open. I almost wanted, because I wasn't sure when they showed the shot, I thought that Sarah's chair had the canary on the front and the arrow on the back, which I think I would have liked better. Yeah, that like she's got like, you know, like because she is, you know, like Oliver's successor kind of thing. Like she's got both emblems, and I would have liked that, but you know, whatever.
Do you think we'll have the Justice League or the Justice League for the crossover next year?
That's I kinda, think so.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had the feeling.
I hope they set this up for that. I would really love to see that. And I really like that we can have Black Lightning as part of that now, too, because while I like how grounded his show has been, it is really cool, and it gives them a different sort of power set also than any of the other shows have to play with that I kind of like.
Yeah, it does. And you can have Black Lightning in these crossovers without it affecting what's going on in his story, too, so...
Well, maybe. I mean, look, right now, I mean, I don't know what's going on now with Freeland, but where they left Freeland, like, there's no way he can interact with anybody. Like, and then you're going to have problems with each one of these shows trying to tell their own stories and then having to have come up with an excuse every time of why Superman or why the League is not helping them out on this. So it is going to lead to a lot of like questions, and everybody who thinks that, oh, we're going to see the Super Friends every week. We're not.
Well,
at least I don't think so. And I don't expect, I mean, we'll get a shot of them here and there, maybe when something big happens, like, oh, the Justice League is helping us like evacuate this city or whatever. But I don't think you're going to see like week to week crossovers now.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we've had that problem already with just Arrow and Flash occupying the same world, where it was like, there were plenty of times where I was like, Ollie, why aren't you picking up the phone and calling Barry? Because Barry would be able to help you solve this problem, you know, in like a fraction of a second. And instead, you're like taking this really long route, you know, and so we've already had that issue. So it's
right,
just like
but now
comics.
Now you've got this like group that they've now formed to go to not have that. So now what do you do? Like, oh, now we have to keep coming up with excuses. So I'm really curious to see how they use this. And I still would like to see each one of these shows have their own voice. I don't want it to become just like, you know, you have to watch all six of these shows or five of these shows, whatever it is, to make sense of everything. I just don't think that works for a lot of people. And I think that, you know, the each show should be a little bit different. I think I like Black Lightning because it was so different and so unique, and the fact that it's being blended in now like worries me that they might not be able to keep that uniqueness. Likewise, you know, Legends was just, once they embraced how silly they were going to be, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it takes a Legend episode in the crossover to get a giant Bebo, right? Like, so you can't pull that off in any of the other shows, right? So that makes them unique. You know, Arrow was a little bit darker. You know, Flash is supposed to be the one of kind of hope and everything. And you know, so they're all supposed to have their sort of own voice. And I'm going to be really curious to see going forward how they maintain those voices while still, especially if you've got another Superman show coming. Because if you've got a Superman show and a Supergirl show, how are you going to make those kind of unique experiences? So,
well, we already know the Superman show is supposed to focus on Superman and his family. So
yeah, it's gonna be, he's got two sons. I'm like, well, you know. Twin sons, is that what we're calling them? I'm like, I don't know. I guess we've never seen Superman as a dad before. So that's going to be, you know, Superman knows best. I wish I could tell you I was excited about that series, but I'm...
All right, so talking about kids, you know, Diggle now has both a John Jr. and a babysitter.
Oh, I noticed that.
Which was, you know, one of the things from blending the universe together. But, does anyone really feel like that was that? Because, like, they've made such a big deal of Barry, you got rid of my daughter. But I'm like, but you replaced him with another child. I mean, you know, so it's not like Barry just like wiped out that you had kids at all. I never felt like it was as big a deal as like Dingle like made it out to be in the show, because it's like it's 50-50, right? You still have a kid, you know, so, and your memories don't even remember the other one, so why does it even matter? But I thought it was kind of funny that they made, you know, they felt that they needed to make sure that, no, now he has two.
That just makes me feel like, whenever, like, you know, because we have a lot of cats in our house, and unfortunately, whenever we lose one, you know, somebody who knows we have a lot of cats is like, well, don't you have, like, 10 more? It's like, yeah, but it doesn't mean that one doesn't hurt, so...
So the only thing I got to say with that is I would have thought the same thing, that wasn't a big enough moment to focus on, except my girlfriend, who does not watch all of these shows and really only sporadically watches them with me as I'm watching them for the podcast, was like, oh, he got his daughter back. And I was like, you even remember that he had a daughter?
That's pretty good.
And she was like, yeah, I watched The Flash and they made such a big deal about it. That's great for him. I was like, what? So that's all I'm going to say is that okay. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. And it clearly it was.
Yeah. Well, I mean, apparently, like, Diggle can handle having, like, twin kids and still do all the stuff that he does. So, you know,
he has two kids and he's going to adopt one. So, right. I mean, that the Diggle household.
Well, that still happened, though. Because Guggenheim said that, you know, that the future that we saw is completely different now that Crisis has happened. So, and
thank we'll goodness for that.
That was I am grateful that the future of Arrow has changed, because that was my biggest complaint with The Flash Forge, was that it was such a bleak ending for the main show. Wow. That, yes, in The Flash Forge, they do ultimately beat the bad guy and somewhat fix things, but it was still implying an unhappy ending for the main show. And it's like, I'm committing, you know, 7 years to watching this show. You got to give me something more than just like, yeah, it all went to crap as soon as they died.
Yeah, everybody dies. We're going to blow up the Glades.
So it'll be interesting to see the new episode of Arrow and how all that's changed. Now, one thing I was disappointed in is we did not get John Diggle getting a Green Lantern ring.
No.
Yes.
His name is Diggle, not Stewart.
The biggest annoying
thing that people have suggested for so I groaned last year in Elseworlds, was like, "Where's your ring, John?" I'm like, "No, don't feed these people. No."
Well, they did in an Arrow episode. I'm right there. His stepdad's name is Stewart.
I know. I know that they tried to do that. I'm sick of people trying to shoehorn that in. Cast a new guy, because I'm pretty sure Diggle's going to be on this Canary, Green Arrow on the Canary show in some capacity or other. You know, how much sense does that make if he's got a Green Arrow or a Green Lantern ring? Is he going to make, like, green guns and be like, pew, 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 with his fingers? You know what I mean? They're never going to have the budget to do it right.
Well, more importantly, too, I think, and yeah, Nathan, I'm right with you, because I was kind of annoyed by that, too. I was like, look, someone just said something in passing, and just because they're both, you know, black doesn't mean that they're all the same hero. Like, it really is an insult, I think, to Jon Stewart as well. But come on, people, we see Oa at the end of this.
Yeah. Out loud, I was laughing so hard because I recognized it instantly. I was like, that's the Rye Green Lantern universe. Oh my God.
That
was the funniest joke that they told in the whole crossover, was showing that entire movie universe. That killed me. I'm so grateful they included that.
Probably the main reason we're not going to see Diggle with a Green Lantern ring is that they're developing that Green Lantern show for HBO, and they probably don't want to have two different TV universes, like, stepping on each other. You know, like, movies and TV are one thing, but they probably don't want two different TV shows, you know, about the Green Lantern on different networks.
Yeah, that's like the rumor I've been hearing about some service wanting to give Brandon Routh a Superman show. I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, there's not going to be two Superman shows. I thought it was pretty exciting. I mean, I didn't actually, Gleadus, I didn't take it to mean that it was a reference that the Ryan Reynolds movie, like, is part of it. But I just took it to mean like, oh, they're acknowledging that Oa exists, and I thought that was pretty cool.
But that is directly from that movie.
Yeah, it was. I recognized it too.
I figured they just didn't want to, you know, spend. They didn't have the money to spend on like that was the best way. That's the best live action we've ever seen. So why not? Like, that's the best part of that movie. That's what I'm saying.
So they're going to acknowledge every other like movie and TV show, but you don't want them to acknowledge the Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern.
Oh no, I do. I was thrilled.
I didn't say I didn't want them to acknowledge it. I just didn't take it as they were doing that.
Like,
they seem to be showing things of the future, not necessarily the past. Like, here's things that are coming. You know, like, and that's why I think there's a lot of speculation that Brandon Routh's going to have his own Superman show, because I think a lot of people took it to mean like all those Earths that we see are stuff that's happening, although Swamp Thing's been canceled, so there's not going to be any more of that. But it was cool to see, like, you know, we got Titans again, we got Doom Patrol, of course Stargirl, and yeah, I was really surprised that we didn't get like one shot of Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman. Look, we know the movie's coming, like, just put a like 10-second shot in there.
Yeah, just like a native advertisement, basically. I thought for sure they'd just include a small scene from a trailer, like not even something new, just like pulling from something that's already been put in the trailer, like when she's lassoing lightning. I'd have been thrilled with that.
And then they do give us the Brandon Routh shot, which is amazing. I mean, he's lost now. You could take it to a couple things. Either he's taken out the black part of his S because he's hopeful now, or that stuff never happened, or this is just a completely whatever. I mean, there's a lot of speculation there, but I think the thing is, we see Brandon Routh, we see Superman flying above the Earth, we hear the music, and I don't know about you guys, but there's something in my DNA now where every time I hear that music, I get sentimental.
Yeah, I mean, we were just missing a shot of Dean Cain somewhere in there. That's really all that we. Because, you know, he was part of Supergirl in the beginning, and, like, he's been missing for so long that I keep expecting him to show up either as, you know, the dad, or, you know, like, I thought for Crisis, it's like that would be a great opportunity to bring him back as his version of Superman, also, but they haven't done it.
Well, they got to save some stuff for Zero Hour.
Yeah.
or whatever they're gonna do next. Who knows? You know, Kingdom Come. Who knows what they could do next?
The door's wide open. I think the whole point of them showing the new multiverse is to acknowledge that yes, these other properties exist on these other Earths, and the whole DC universe is connected.
Just as long as the next one is an Infinite Crisis. If they introduce Superman Prime, I'm tapping out. That's it. I'm done.
Well, my friend and I keeps got me to read Identity Crisis, and he keeps saying, like, with how quickly they're trying to, like, you know, burn through, like, the history of DC in these shows, he's like, I'm really worried with them introducing Sue Dibney that they're going to go to Identity Crisis, like, right away, and that'll be awful.
That will be horrible.
Let's kind of rate how we thought the crisis was overall. Let's start with you, Mike.
Overall, I know, you know, I've nitpicked especially these last two parts to bits here, but overall, I have nothing but good things to say about it. This is something that should not have been able to happen. I never thought I'd see it in my lifetime, and the things that they were able to do were just amazing, and I can't say that it made sense to people who don't know the original source material, or who don't watch all the shows, or who don't do all this and all that. All I know is that I had a blast watching this, and look, if I got Kevin Conroy as Batman live action, so I am ecstatic. That was the highest point maybe of the year for me in terms of television stuff I saw. And I'm really excited for where it goes now, like where all the shows go. All the shows get this little bit of like sparkly energy to them that we're really excited about what they're going to be like now. So I think mission accomplished.
All right. What about you, Nathan?
I feel like it was about 30 minutes of plot and 3 hours of fan service. It's not necessarily a bad thing to do it that way around. It was certainly fun to watch in the moment and seeing all those different scenes of, oh, look, it's the 89 Batman movie, you know, stuff like that. It's just like really, you know, kind of fun and exciting. But, you know, at the end of the day, it, don't think about it too much, because if you do, you're going to find all kinds of problems with it. But yeah, I think it's more about hitting the reset button and what this new, what not only what the new universe is going to look like for each of the different shows and like far as the details and things, but also bringing together all these characters and coming the closest that they've come to actually having a Justice League, you know, on the CW. So, you know, all that stuff is good. I feel like they've positioned the shows in a good place with it, which, you know, gets me to get over, you know, my grumbling about how I never wanted the multiverse to, you know, get merged away. I mean, I get that they still have a kind of multiverse, but they're not going to visit that. So it's kind of gets rid of it for them. But yeah, so I feel like overall it was a good thing.
All right. How about you, Ashley?
Yeah, so I was coming at this primarily as a Arrow fan. That's the only one of these shows that I'm caught up on, and was pleased that I was able to follow along with it pretty well. And I am pretty pleased with Oliver's final story arc. Of course, sad that he died, since I've been following the show for, 8 years now. But I thought it was a good way for him to go out. You know, he finally, he didn't just save the city, he saved the universe. So, like, what else can you ask for as a hero? And I thought it was interesting that he doesn't really have any superpowers, but yet he still played such a big role in the closing out of the story. And I really liked the end where they have his suit and the little flame going kind of in memory of the character. And yeah, it makes me excited for what else they're going to do with these shows. And I am pleased that they went to an effort to make the stakes seem high and that there's going to be some lasting changes on these shows. I'm behind on Legends, but like seeing this makes me want to get caught up with it and then check out some of the other new shows that I'm behind on. So I think there's lots of great stories that they can still tell in these universes, and I'm excited to see what they do going forward.
All right. What about you, Cletus?
I think it's a crossover that knew what it was about. And in that regard, I think it deserves high marks, because yes, it is absolutely fan service over plot, but isn't that kind of what we wanted? I mean, I think we would have been disappointed if we didn't get something like the Flash meeting the movie Flash. Is that's incredible. Getting the Kevin Conroy Batman, it's awesome. Getting Ryan Reynolds Green Lantern was one of the funniest things that I've seen. That was so great. Best case scenario plot wise for this isn't that high, if I'm being honest. For the CW shows, there was no way they were going to do some like version of the story that was going to blow you away plot wise. In you know what I mean, like in reality it wasn't going to happen. And so instead of trying to do that, they just focused on the stuff that I think honestly fans wanted, which was giving you all of these, you know, flashbacks and other things, cuts to, oh man, I remember that, or oh, that's really cool. And then it also succeeded in resetting the universe. It finally merged the universe, which is something a lot of fans have wanted and have talked about. I mean yes, Supergirl being on a different universe helps to keep it her own show, but in my opinion, Flash and Arrow have been on the same universe the entire time, and they've never been the same show to me. So I don't think that that's going to affect these shows. So if the goal of the crossover was to reset the universe, finally merge everything, and then to give all of these shout-outs to all of these other past live-action versions of superheroes, That's a success. That's a very successful crossover. So honestly, for me, it was everything I wanted.
All right. For me, I have to say I loved this crossover. Only because when I was younger, trying to get a superhero show to stay on a network was like pulling teeth. They were always canceling them. Even the 90s Flash, we only got one season of it. And to have all these shows, to have characters crossing over, it's like a fanboy's dream. And I never thought I'd see the day that we'd get a crisis, let alone crossover like this. And I just think it's unbelievable. And there was a lot of effort put in this and a lot of coordination. And I thought they did a great job for what it was. It's not perfect, but it was fun. It was exciting. And they had a few surprises in there for us. And at the end of the day, I think that's what I wanted. All right. Well, that wraps up our show for this week. Do you have a shout out, Mike?
I appreciate you inviting me to be part of this station, be part of these episodes. You can check me out on the regular Earth Station 1 podcast every week.
All right. What's your shout out, Ashley?
Well, thank you as well. It's always a pleasure to talk with you guys. You can find my movie and TV blogs over on the ESO podcast website. So lots of good stuff coming up this year. I'm looking forward to diving into.
All right. What's your shout out, Nathan?
You can check. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on your show. You can check me out at the 42 Cast, which is your ultimate answer to fandom geekiness and everything. So it's at 42cast.com, or you can follow us as part of the ESO network as well.
All right, and what's your shout out this week, Cletus?
Well, I don't have a new comic book shout out because I feel like the ones I used for the last podcast apply to this one. That being said, I want to give a shout out to all the different guests that we had on both of these episodes. Really grateful for you guys today and Mike that we had on the last one also. It's been really fun. It was great watching the crossover and then getting to talk with it with a bunch of different people. So it's not just me and Drew talking the whole time.
Yeah, I think sometimes our listeners probably get tired of just you and me going back and forth all the time. All right, and I'm gonna shout out about the movie Knives Out. If you like any sort of mysteries, went and saw that over the weekend. Loved it, and thought it was a pretty good movie. If you're into mysteries, check that out. I also want to shout out that I saw the trailer for the Birds of Prey movie. Gotta say, I'm not that excited about it.
Yeah.
But of course we will be reviewing it on the podcast at some point, so we'll go see it, but from what I've seen, it's just not my Birds of Prey, and we'll see. I'll keep an open mind. Well, they may surprise me, but that's all I have to say about that. Alright, if you'd like to comment on anything we've talked about tonight, you can leave us a message on our feedback line at 317-564-9133. Leave us a message, or you can email us at earthstationdcu@gmail.com. All right, coming up next week. I'm sure you're excited to find out what we're talking about next week, Cletus.
Yeah.
It's been a while since we've done a regular show. All right, coming up next week, we're going to be talking Aquaman, Batman, Catwoman, Justice League Odyssey, Legion of Superheroes, Jimmy Olsen, Young Justice, and of course all the CW shows are going to be back next week. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Time to go.
You sure this is necessary?
The Guardians of the Universe seem to think so.
How long will you be gone? But we will be back, little brother.
I wish I could go with.
I doubt your mother would approve.
I'll miss you.
Perhaps you could water the plants in my apartment while I am gone.
Be careful, all right?
May the gods be with you all.
Has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.